In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Celebrating the Lord's Supper is not an option. It is the Savior's will. He instituted it. He commanded it. He said, "Do this." This night gets its name, Maundy Thursday, from the Latin word mandatum, which means command or commandment. In the upper room on the evening before his death, Jesus said, as he was washing his disciples' feet, "A new command I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." It is the night of our Lord's commands. Love. Do this. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is Jesus' gift to his church. He wants us to extend our hand and receive it. We disrespect our Lord and Savior when we turn away from his gift of love. You know, it's kind of going to grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner. And if we don't show up, she's sure to ask us why we weren't there. "I prepare a meal for you, all that food, but you didn't come." It's grandma's meal, prepared just for us. And we turned away from it. The big reason we go to grandma's meal, though, it's not that we don't want to offend her. We want to go. The food is great. In the same way, we want to come to the Lord's Supper because the food is great. Jesus said, "Do this." He commands us to come so that he can serve us. Only if we come can he serve. We call our hour here in the Lord's house a divine service for just this reason. During this hour, he wants to serve us with his sacrament, to forgive our sins and hold us close in his love. He wants to build us up in his spirit and send us on our way rejoicing, refreshed, and renewed in his grace. For me as a pastor, it is a great comfort when the sacrament is offered at our service. I know my sermon may not reach everyone's needs. I know people's minds may wander from the music, prayers, and readings. But when the sacrament is served, it is the Lord himself who comes directly through bread and wine. No human failing, including the preachers, gets in the way of Jesus' special personal touch. This is his moment with us, and we treasure it. Jesus takes his supper very seriously, and he asks us to take it seriously as well. Tonight, we observe the night when he was betrayed, the night that our Lord instituted his supper for all time. We are gathered primarily to receive this supper in his name. "Do this," he says, and we come obediently and expectantly. When we accept his invitation, we acknowledge that this gift of love is precious to us. If we ignore it, we reveal what place he has in our lives. Other things are more important. We don't feel a need for his gift. We don't believe it is as important as he thinks it is. One way to illustrate this is to think of it like getting a birthday party invitation from your best friend. What would that friend think if you just ignore it? It's his party and you don't care? Or it's like getting an invitation to a meal from someone very important. Let's say like the governor or even the president. Would you make room in your schedule to such an opportunity? What would he or she think if you just didn't care? But the wonderful thing about our Lord is that he never stops inviting. He never stops offering. He never remembers past snubs. He just rejoices that the lost sheep is back into the fold, safe in his arms, touching him. When we come, we proclaim to all our family members and friends and fellow church members that we want our Lord's love and forgiveness. We leave home and our neighbors may see us. We perhaps talk about this experience with them or at work or even at other gatherings. And at least I hope you do. As St. Paul goes on to saying, our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What a privilege. What a joy. How we rejoice when each new child in our family or in our church family can join us in the blessing. How we rejoice when each unchurched friend eventually hears the Lord's call and comes to his table. Our heart leaps for joy as our Lord's does when he sees his beloved children gather for his meal. It's an awesome moment. Our approach to the altar reflects these attitudes. At the start of the service, we acknowledge our sins. We also have a brief moment of silence to examine our life. Now, the climactic moment is coming when we actually receive the Savior's grace into our bodies and souls. As the ushers come down the aisle, we stop whatever we are doing and we take a moment to pray. We stand and our heart starts beating a bit faster. We will soon be at Jesus' table, in his presence, receiving his gift. So we approach the Lord's table reverently and expectantly. We walk up and respectfully exchange a bow with the pastor. We are bowing together to our gracious Lord. We are in his presence, gratefully acknowledging him who in grace has called us to this feast. With the bread and wine in our hands, we also have the very body and blood of our Lord. We remember that his body was broken and his blood was shed in payment for our sins. We are washed clean from the inside out. We are renewed and strengthened in his love. We delight in this moment. Then the pastor says words of dismissal. Some persons cross themselves, recalling the other sacrament, our baptism. When we first received that sign and seal of the cross upon our foreheads and upon our hearts, we smile, we return to our seat, and pray our thanksgiving. This is the moment we prepared for. We savor it. It is the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's Supper. We rejoice. Our Lord rejoices. And we depart in peace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.